You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Beautiful day out there. 34 degrees in Green Bay, 36 in Appleton, 34 in Oshkosh. Getting up to 42 degrees today with a little bit of rain, but it feels like spring. We've had some great guests. Lori Butts, President and CEO of Capital Credit Union, Platinum Certified, the top organization in the Valley. It's a great place to work. Ben and Dana Malcor, moving with the Malcors. This is the season when real estate really, really heats up. Really looking forward to them letting us know about the one they have on Dousman opening up early next week. Tori Wittenbrock and John Kramer, headlines with the Press Times. We love having them come in here. And I'm not blowing smoke at Tori. She's one of the great young writers that you'll ever find. And Ryan Fensel, Packers Football Outreach. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello, John.
This is
Hey,
John.
You smell like a cough drop, just so you know.
Well, Chris had me on the ice covering the polar plunge, Special Olympics polar plunge on Saturday all day.
So, and you caught a little something, something?
I caught a little something, so I hopefully...
No, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, why don't you sit a little closer here, John?
We're glad you're here.
That's why I tried to give you a hug earlier.
Yeah.
Did you talk to this Ryan guy? He's unbelievable what he does. Ryan, tell us about your...
Well, I haven't really had a chance yet, Jim. He just walked into the room, okay? Way to embarrass me in front of company.
No, I didn't know if you knew him before.
He's been on the spreadsheet.
No, John.
Didn't you hate that when your parents were embarrass you in front of company?
I was saying that, like, I thought maybe you knew him before because he's been with the Packer organization.
I know that. Okay. And I haven't worn my glasses today for a reason, okay. So I can't read
all
the
right.
sheets.
All right. Hey, Ryan, tell us what you do there.
Now do you see what...
Absolutely.
So, now do you see why?
Oh, my God. Sorry, Ryan.
No, you're good.
Look at those glasses.
You're good. No, they are nice glasses.
Try these. Try these.
Dollar Tree.
They're okay. These are not $1 glasses from the Dollar Tree. They're $1.25 from the Dollar Tree.
Well, that's because everything is now. They raised their price. Remember that? That was a big deal when they went from $1 to $1.25.
Yeah, Jim, we know.
Okay, I want to talk about Ryan. Ryan, tell us. I think what you do in this community is terrific. I don't know enough people know about your job and your mission, so share that with us.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on. So I work in our community outreach department, and what I do is, as our football outreach manager, my job centers around youth football, high school football, now girls high school flag football.
Which is getting very popular. Very
wait popular. Till he sees some of the numbers he's working on. Yeah,
absolutely. And then outside of that, then our non-traditional kind of pillar, if you will, so athletes with special needs. We also do a tournament for the military in the fall. So a lot of different event planning, a lot of giving back and equipment donations that we get from our equipment department that then go to high schools or youth football programs throughout the state.
By the way, I miss Red Batty.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people do.
Red was equipment man. I just don't see him. I don't know if he moved or whatever, but we'd have lunches. Johnny, let's go to Sammy's Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Red was, you guys had the greatest equipment man in football history, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, Red, I want to say he's out in California now. I'm not sure, but now we got Chris in there. He's doing a great job. So they're a great group to work with. And, you know, they give us a lot that we can give back to in put that equipment to good use.
Somebody would have to see, you have to pull back the curtain to understand what they do on game day. If you're in an away game and they got to catch a flight, they have to catch, you watch those equipment guys, it's incredible, isn't it? How they just fly around, get all this unbelievable equipment packed up in the shortest amount of time ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a well-oiled machine that they have over there. And it's amazing the work they do because they got to, you know, they got to be prepared for everything.
Everything.
You know, if something breaks, you got to have the replacement and get it in quick, like a NASCAR, you know, pit stop.
Yeah, that's you're right.
Your outreach has been around for a while. I wasn't as familiar with it until I really talked to you. But it's just booming right now. Tell us about what is and why it is.
Yeah, I think over the years, it's really grown. The things that we've been able to do, a lot of it is because of that new field over in Titletown. Once that opened up in 2017, that gave us an opportunity to do more and more and put on more events. And all the events that we do within community outreach are free events. So whether it's a camp or whether it's a tournament or anything like that, it's all free events. So having that field out there, and it's such a beautiful facility right there in the shadows of Lambeau, to get kids over there, get adults over there playing flag football, or whether it's a camp or anything like that. It's just, it's really fun to be able to grow and expand. And now we just hired another coordinator underneath me. So the things we're going to be able to do is really going to start to blow up.
Jod Kramer?
He hired somebody. I asked him if he needed an intern.
And?
As
you got turned down again?
Green Bay's longest tenured intern.
I got to say one thing, though, about the different things you guys do, though. I remember when you guys would host things in the Hudson Center, you know, before that was built. And for these, I remember you had a women's learn how to play football, different kinds of things. Just being in that Hudson Center is a really cool experience, to be running around on that AstroTurf. I don't know if they call it that anymore. But one other thing, then, I was watching, I forget, one of the very last Packer games, and there was a pregame show, and they had video, and the people were skating, you know, and people are like, is that in Green Bay? Is that in, and so it's right across the street from Lambeau Field. And they're like, are you serious?
Yeah.
People couldn't believe, you know, these are national people who had never been to Green Bay, and they couldn't believe just that little area. These people skating in the shadows of Lambeau Field and everything. So what a great facility you guys have to work with for those kind of events.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. We still use the Hudson Center mainly in the off season for some of the high school events that we do. But, yeah, over in Titletown, especially like you said, in the winter when they get the lights on the trees. And there's always different events and different things going on over in Titletown.
So, Ryan, this community outreach free women's or girls, I should say, flag football, some kids with maybe disabilities. How do people learn more about that? Is it organized? Did you sign up? And you said there's not a fee for that. Tell me about how someone can get engaged in that, because that just the ambiance of playing in that area is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So on our website on Packers.com, there's a community tab up top, and then within community, there's a football outreach tab. So that kind of lists everything that's involved within our football outreach realm. And really kind of covers everything. So there's different things throughout the year, whether it's a high school event or whether it's the athletes with special needs, that's our exceptional abilities challenge, where we work with different Special Olympics groups.
I love that you guys have gotten them involved in football.
Awesome. What
I love that.
Doing.
Oh, it's one of the highlights of their year when they're out there. And a lot of times we'll see the same athletes every year, but they love being out there. Everybody gets a medal. They all play two games, and that actually is used as a qualifier for the Special Olympics state tournament. So we're able to kind of work with them so that they're able to, you know, be ready for their tournament the following month. So it's great to be able to be a part of that and see the smiles on those faces.
Tori Wittenbach, sports editor, Press Times. How you doing?
Great. How
these
are you?
These are exciting times right now with high school basketball tournaments and all the different things taking place. And you mentioned that one day you were at like four different hockey games.
Oh, yeah.
So how thin are you going to be spread over these next couple of weeks, which is one of my favorite times of the year? I don't think there's anything more fun than tournament basketball. And I don't care if it's junior high. I don't care if it's whatever. I just love tournament basketball. And we're in that stage right now. So I'd imagine you love it too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like you said, right now we're in that time where it's like super competitive and the FRCC is great. There's so many upsets going on right now, and on the girls and the boys side, that's awesome to see. Another thing that last night, the Ice Bears, Bay Area Ice Bears, won again girls hockey, and I think they've only lost one game this whole season.
About that. That's a sport that doesn't get a lot of publicity.
Yeah, I mean, girls hockey's awesome. I mean, when I grew up, my cousins played hockey, and it was like never really a thing for girls to play.
Right.
So I come out here and I see a successful girls team, and they've won state, I don't even know how many years in a row. So, and last year, I think they made it to the finals. So it'll be exciting to see what they can do again this year with the postseason run.
You mentioned some of the high school basketball, though, and they like Ashwaubenon and DePere had an unbelievable game. That's like almost like historic with that last second shot and the different things. And you got to be. Again, I wish I could go back 50 years and be in your position, starting out covering sports the way it is now. It's just cool. You got to be enjoying this.
Oh my gosh, so much! It's super exciting too. And in my position too, I get to send interns and other writers out, and I'm like, okay.
So she sends you out, John?
Yeah. Okay. You know,
yes.
The world's longest tenured intern. Okay, good.
It's exciting to be like, okay, I know this girl is gonna love this game. Like, it's her first time out. I'm gonna give her a good game, and you know, she can go out and cover a good boys high school basketball game and
That's
see
awesome.
a last second shot like that.
Great.
And your paper, and it's just to remind people if they don't get it, and your subscriptions keep going up. Comes out on Fridays, and it's just it's what
it's
Johnny
local.
And I are over the radio. It's just local with great photography. John, I want to give you a shout out for that. You do spend money on pictures there, and I think that's great to look through that. And the sports section is good, but I just want to say your local news is really good.
No, thank you.
They don't spend a lot of money. I'm still just an intern. So that's how I ended up getting hooked up with Ryan was I was at the Play 60 event that the Packers had in the atrium there.
That's a good one.
And I reached out to their office, and I'm like, hey, you guys want to come on with us? And they suckered Ryan into coming on, so here he is.
This is great. It's great stuff. And Ryan, you got to talk about people loving their jobs or their internships.
I don't love my internship.
You got to love working for the Packers, doing what you get to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. To be able to...
Because no matter wins or losses, doesn't matter with your job. You're bringing the Packers to the community.
That's what I was just going to say. It's connecting the fans with their team and giving them that experience to play football and be a part of it.
What did you do before this, Ryan?
I worked in finance down in Madison. So
really?
The crossover
that's not the natural progression.
Yeah. No. Well, it's funny because that's often a question. Yeah, what's your degree in? I worked in finance. Oh, well, that doesn't really add up for me. But looking for a career change, had contacts with the Packers. I worked in our Packers pro shop when I was in high school.
Yeah. And,
so just kind of...
It's kind of like everybody did, but that's great that you did that. I think that's really neat that they reach out to high school kids and get them in there, and that's awesome. Yeah. That was your connection?
You're a local guy?
Went to Ashwaubenon.
Yeah, great.
His uncle was my science teacher, and I was telling him, your uncle put me up against the lockers.
Yeah, tough guy.
What?
Seventh grade. I said, you couldn't get away with that now.
It can't be that tough. Couple guys.
Can we reenact that?
How tall are you, Jim?
Well, he wasn't as big as you.
I played
football in high school at Ashwaubenon under Coach Glomsky.
Oh my gosh, the legend.
Yeah,
Coach G.
Yeah.
He's the best, man.
So this outreach that you're doing, and what I like about what you're doing, and of course what the Press Times is doing, it's local, and I think sometimes we lose how great this community is, and we've got to talk about it and really brag about it a little bit.
And I just want to say one thing. I know I'm old school. You still like reading it on a piece of paper type of thing versus going on the internet and reading about things. There's still something cool. I'm excited when I open my mailbox and I see the Press Times there. It's like, this is awesome. I get to sit and read a newspaper.
All weekend.
Are you cutting out my pictures and making a scrapbook for me?
I didn't want to say anything. I got a collage. Want you to think it was creepy.
We're getting an intern to do that.
Yeah.
But
wow!
Ouch. Did the outreach to the people with disabilities? Yeah, I want to give you a lot of credit for that.
Yeah,
is that new? Is that something that you've been working on for a while? Because we just had the people on from I forgot the name of the school. Sybil Hopp was on here. Just they talked about all they're doing. Any program more successful than the others?
Hold the thought. We got to send a quick break. We'll be back. Tori Wittenrock, sports editor, Press Times. John Kramer, world's longest intern. And Ryan Fensel, Packers Football Outreach. Back after this. Who wants to push me around? It's down to me. The difference in the clothes she wears down to me. The change has come. She's under my thumb. The aim of the truth. Under my.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. We have some very special guests. We enjoy this segment a bunch. Tori Wittenrock from the Press Times, headlines with the Press Times, John Kramer, as I mentioned, intern extraordinaire, and Ryan Fensel of the Green Bay Packers football outreach program. And Jim, you were talking during the break about that, about the special needs type of athletes you're getting involved with. I think that's awesome.
I just want to applaud you for reaching out, but I'm wondering where the areas of growth are going to be. And you just maybe want to talk about really the girls' sports, right? Isn't that something you're kind of focused on?
Absolutely. So girls flag football. You guys might have seen it during the Super Bowl. There was the Super Bowl commercial with had Pat McAfee on there. The goal is to get girls flag football to be sanctioned in all 50 states
In high schools, right?
In high schools, yep, absolutely. So that's an area where we've, over the past few years, really been kind of focusing on and putting a lot into. So we've been running a grant program to kind of reimburse schools who have developed their own Girls Flag program, and working with the WIAA to know what the requirements are to get that to be a sanctioned sport. So we're getting there. I'm hopeful that within the next, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 years, that it could be something that it could come to a vote. But we're doing different this year. We're going to be doing Girls Flag Fundamentals Clinics. We do our Girls Flag Open, where it's a scrimmage day over at the Don Hudson Center. And looking at continuing to grow more and more in the Girls Flag area.
Tori, you're a superstar soccer player. I would imagine this would be something you'd... Right. It seems kind of an easy transcend from soccer into flag football.
Oh, yeah. It's super exciting. And I grew up with... I have two younger sisters, but I have two cousins right around my age, and they're both boys. So I grew up playing flag football, playing hockey, and it was always kind of like, oh, use a girl if there's no other boys around.
Yeah.
And so it's really awesome to see girls breaking into this space,
right?
Too.
I love it.
That's awesome. Hey, the name of this segment is called Headlines with the Press Times. What are the headlines? What are you guys, what's big over there, Johnny? What are you working on?
Well, I just covered a Rock the Block. The Habitat for Humanity is got a program where they take a block. Last year they took a block at De Pere and provided assistance to fix out residents. And so they're going to be doing that in the Fisk neighborhood.
Great.
This year.
And that Rock the Block, I'm a little familiar with that program, but we just talked to the Melcors on here, and sometimes people will buy a house and it's like, you know, should I bought this? The neighbors, but Habitat goes in there and does the whole block, 6-7 houses that are on that block. So it's like, okay, everybody's investing. So I'm not out there throwing good money after bad. I think that's, all right, that's going to be a good story. That's this Friday?
Well, I got to see if I can get home in time to write it. So I just covered it yesterday. It might be next week.
And all right.
I'm under the weather, and now I'm got to deal with you guys, and I don't know if I'll get it done.
Yeah, okay, all right. Plus, is the intern, John. Yeah. You know.
Tori, I got to
ask. And I'm only an intern. I mean, pay me a little more, and I'll get it done. But.
Tori, you've had a chance. Obviously, you're a competitive athlete when you're at UW Green Bay in scholarship and all those kind of things, which is awesome. But now that you've had a chance to see, well, not just Green Bay, but, I mean, Northeast Wisconsin through a different lens, you know what I mean, versus just not saying just being it, but, I mean, that was your focus. I mean, when you're college athlete, that's your life. I mean, it really is. It's 12 months a year. But now that you get a chance to sit back and observe the whole sports scene in Northeast Wisconsin, being from California, so you didn't grow up with us, give us your opinion, your truthful opinion of high school sports, just the sports community in Northeast Wisconsin that you've taken away from being here.
It was completely different when I was here as an athlete. I mean, like you said, it's like everything you do is related to your sport. You don't have time for a job. You don't have time for a social life, anything. It was like everything we did revolved around film sessions, team meetings, practice, second practice, weightlifting. Yep. Weightlifting at 6 a.m. one semester.
People have no idea how much weightlifting is involved if you're a college athlete, do they? Yeah.
Yep. Twice a week minimum.
Yeah.
Regardless of in season, out of season, it's insane.
Yeah.
But so my experience in Green Bay was completely different when I was here as an athlete, because it was like, I was like, this is it. This is Green Bay. It was nothing special to me, because it was like everything was confined to being on campus.
And let's be honest, you're a little isolated out there.
Yeah, it's definitely the only thing in that area of Green Bay.
The chancellor wouldn't like you saying that.
No, but you know, I mean, it's your own little world out there.
It is.
And if you don't have a car, I mean.
And my freshman year my freshman year was COVID year. So it was really isolated. So, I mean, it was a different experience when I was here for college.
Okay, let's be honest. Your first one, did you think about going home? Did you call mom and dad and say,
a little bit. I mean, it was brutal with all the restrictions, and we had to wear masks outside playing soccer. I mean, so many things that looking back were so nonsensical, but at the time it was like, oh, this is what you do. So,
I don't know how younger your sister is, but I just want to say that the plan out there, the chancellor who works with Mark Murphy, who's of course the president of the Green Bay Packers, would like to build kind of a title town out there, hotels, restaurants, and kind of bring the downtown to you. And there's, you guys got so much land out there.
Right.
I think that'd be great.
It's not tax-based, but then we can turn that into something. But you have a great plan out there, but COVID really set that thing back. Like it said, so many things back.
Yes.
I mean, even football, right, Ryan? I mean, nobody playing, but nobody watching. So anyway, I just think there's there's a big future. That'd be a story for Press Times to cover. But I do think that someday that's going to be another title town.
He's giving you a lot of work here.
Now I got Jim giving me a sign.
It's going
to
be big.
Ryan, I have to ask one thing, though, too, as far as like how you guys have embraced. And I'm going back to, I remember the cool thing, high school teams, if they were going to the state finals in football, the Packers would let them have their last practice at the Hudson Center to kind of get used to the turf and everything like that. And that's almost like when it started, a little bit of interaction with the Packers and high school athletes. Where did it take a leap and a bound to the point of like your job even, where it's right. like, we're dedicating a person just to communicate with our people out there, non-football-wise. Who came up with that? Who decided this was a really important part? Because let's be honest, the Packers could just say, you know, whatever, we're doing our thing and come to the games. But when did they say we're going to embrace and bring these fans to us?
You know, I think that's one thing that's really grown over the years, but it probably started way back during when they first renovated and put okay. the atrium up there, because, you know, obviously asking the community for, you know, with the taxes yeah. and having that grow. But look at it, you know, Packers are the only community-owned NFL right. football team. So for us to be able to give back to the community is such an important thing. So it's really continuing to grow over the years, you know, for the past, you know, what, 25 years
yeah,
now?
Yeah, about that. Right. Yep. Okay, Jim, ask the question. You're two questions. I know you're waiting to ask something about financials, and the other one is about the draft.
So go ahead, ask your two questions. I'll leave the financials alone. You guys are doing fine financially.
The draft.
Well,
about, just what you guys are doing
oh,
for the
yeah,
draft.
Oh, yeah, the draft. You've got to be – what are you going to do with that field there? I mean, that's got to be probably one of the most sought-after places that people are going to want to hang out, is that field where you have your flag football and all the events. Are you guys planning something? Is it going to be restricted?
Yep. So
quickly.
We're working with the NFL. It's going to be a play football field. We're going to do some kid camps out there with some of the prospects. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be an amazing environment. We're looking forward to it.
On the world stage.
I hope the Press Times covers it.
I hope it snows.
Get out of here. John Kramer, you're the best, buddy. Tori Wittenbach, you're going to be huge in that business. I'm telling you.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, we've had some phenomenal guests today. Lori Butts, President and CEO, Capital Credit Union, the Platinum Award they received. Bet Indiana Malcor, always great. Moving with the Malcors, they got a great house that's hitting the market on Tuesday. We'll talk a lot more about that next week. And they are also taking part, Bet Indiana, also taking part in the telethon for Channel 2 this coming weekend. Got to find their number, give them a call, have them raise the most amount of money out there. Tori Wittenbrock, John Kramer, headlines with the Press Times, along with Ryan Fensel, Green Bay Packers football outreach program. And Sarah Connery, Authors Among Us Book Fair coming up this weekend, of which I'm very disappointed that I wasn't invited to, but still, we'll talk about it. I'm not bitter at all. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you? Good. How are you?
Good.
How's life as a local author?
Oh, it's chaotic, but good.
Rolling in the cash, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cha-ching. If anybody wants to make a lot of money, become a local author. Yeah.
I think this is great.
Don't make me the man I am today.
But I think this is great that you're bringing in, and I was talking in the lobby, 33 authors. I think that's a lot. I would have guessed yeah. 6, 7, 8, 9, but I think that's terrific. And they're here from 11 till 3:30 on, is it Saturday?
It's on Sunday, the
Sunday.
Second.
Okay, Sunday. And that's at 1018 Cedar Street in DePere. Tell me about this event. Are people selling the books? Is it how to be an author? What's the mission for the
Yeah, it will be 33 booths. There are all different authors, a ton of different genres. There are some children books, mystery, fantasy, pretty much anything you could think of for books. They have a good variety of different authors, but there will be booths set up throughout the event, and then you can kind of walk around, meet the author, buy books, kind of, you know, leisurely shop.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Jim and I are both local authors.
Yeah.
If somebody comes and buys one of the other authors comes and buys your book, do you feel obligated to buy theirs?
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but now I will be thinking about it until Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that does happen. It's like, oh, I got to play.
You trade books. I don't know what you guys do. They're like at, you know, the shows where you just food shows, they always trade food. But I ought to get, will you, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I like your book, is there going to be, do you think one of the authors should come there and maybe talk about the process? I don't know if you self-published or if you went, I don't know how you got your book published, but I think that's always a question. You see the stuff on TV. Oh, it's a great deal. It's a ripoff. You know, I don't know, but.
Yeah.
It is a process.
It definitely is. My book was published through a regional publisher out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh.
But I would definitely recommend it to any authors who are prospective authors that want to write a book, because there will be authors that have published in all different ways. So through publishers, the self-publishing, they'll be there.
There's never been an easier time to self-publish too. I mean, just the mechanics of getting that book put together.
Yeah. And, do you have some of the other authors that are going to be there? We've interviewed, I don't know, in the last 2 years, a lot of
authors. We love local authors. We really and truly do. And we try to support them as much as possible.
And we love local musicians and local businesses. And
local food.
We're kind of a local company. But I'm just curious. This is interesting. Sundays are a little slow now. I think this would be a great event. And is there a charge to get in?
The event is free to attend. So
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your books.
Well, my book is the 100 Things to Do Before You Die.
And you're from Champion, Michigan.
I am from Michigan.
Yep. Now, one of the things that people don't realize, though, in writing a book like that, it's they have no idea sometimes. And I've had numerous proofreaders and whatever. Things will happen where you're going to read get your book and you're going to be so excited and you're going to open it. And it's like, oh, crap. Doesn't that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a business change names like right after I published it. And I was like, well, I can't change it. It's set now.
Do you know what I had? And I've got it upstairs here in my apartment. I could bring it and prove this to you. So I ordered some new books. Okay. Which is always. And we were talking with Chris Leonard from the Press Times. You know, she wrote the book on Curly Lambeau and everything. And we talked about there's that in-between balance between having 8 big boxes of books in your living room staring you in the face, or somebody like a boss's calls and says, we're out of your books. Do you have any? And you don't, and you have to reorder and things like that. Okay. So that's always a walk in space, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what happened to me. And I showed Todd or Jim or somebody just to prove it. I got some reorders in my books. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, the print must be bigger because it's thicker. I opened it. I was actually at boss's giving them at the time. And it was a book a lady wrote about P. Diddy, about how he abused her and all these. That was included in my book.
Wow.
I can show this to you. It's unbelievable. Remember, Jim, I told you that?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to believe what just happened with my book. And they printed my books with this story about P. Diddy in it.
Oh, my
gosh. So being a local author, I'm just trying to tell people. Everybody thinks it's cool and it's fun, but.
You might get a story.
Exactly. Hey, I just picked up your book. I swear to God, I opened up the book and it first thing it came to was take a ride on Elvis's favorite roller coaster. This is what it opened to, which is cool.
I saw your bookmark.
No, I didn't. I didn't bookmark that. And you talk about the Northland. There's a lot in here.
Folded back.
I want to hear what other authors are going to be there. This is very interesting. And I'm
just reading about this one. Gregory Renz, Wisconsin multi-award winning author, Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Fire captain. Read this one. Beneath the Flames. In this novel, an embittered fire captain joins forces with a retired police captain in a life and death struggle to save an African American family that's being terrorized by a savage outlaw motorcycle gang.
sounds like a page turner, right? I mean, that's good.
He's
got a lot
that.
In there. Yeah, he's got a lot in there. Wow, that's cool. Are the authors all from Greater Green Bay, or where are they from?
They're from all over the state, so it features authors throughout Wisconsin.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And is there someone that, for those of us who aren't avid readers, Johnny is, but that. Like, who's, I don't ask you who the most famous person is there, but I mean, who's there that I might know besides you?
Linda Drews will be there.
Oh, she's awesome. Right. We had her on the show.
We had her on the show, but yeah.
That book is amazing.
That was pretty well read. It seems like. I talked to a lot of people who read that book.
And
okay,
I feel very, how should I put, chagrined? What's the word I'm trying to find? She contacted me years ago. I don't know how many years ago, about when my first books came out. She says, tell me about the process of writing a book. And it's like, you just do, you know what? There is no, you just sit down and you hammer it out somehow. And now, and she took that and she's become such a great writer. I read her book and it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You're a really great writer compared to me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, so people have it in them sometimes to do this. They just have to find the opportunity to bring it out.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way when you got started?
Yeah. My process was very stressful. I had a timeline.
Okay.
So I am also a procrastinator. So it took me a while to get started. But, and then I just sat at a desk for a very, very long time.
I'm working on one story for my next book. Okay. And I've told Jim and Todd about this to the point they're tired of hearing about it. It's taken me 2 months to write one chapter because it's two different. It's and in war, it's a war type thing, obviously, and it's Vietnam. But when guys, and I've gotten this from everybody that's ever been in battle, they could be right next to each other and their experience and what they see and they remember is completely different than the other guy. So I'm interviewing these two guys. And they're relating this big battle. It was a battle of Ripcord, which was the last major battle in Vietnam. And they were both there, and they remember it entirely different. So as an author, trying to weave all this together is, that's the, people don't realize when you interview people and whatever, their stories are going to be a little bit different than what you expected. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with like their background and perspectives. And you have to take all that into account.
Yes. I mean, it's not like Jim where he just wrote his life story in
hour and a half.
How come you've never given us any of your books?
I don't know. I would
Todd, do you have one?
No, sir.
We're talking about local authors. We've got a local author here. Have I given you one of my books, Todd?
Yes.
I do think, do you have one, Ryan?
Intern, do you have one?
Intern has one.
No.
No.
You don't? No. All right. Next time. Okay.
Are they for sale? Can I
buy them? Okay, tell me a little bit more. I think that, and you're going to, I'm assuming all 33 authors are going to be there selling their books.
Yes.
Okay,
yep, they'll all be there in person.
All right. So we got the one we talked about, the Drew. Who else?
Linda Drews.
Judy Brown will be there. She's a local author. Yep. Brenda Wolf, Audrey Linden, James.
Give us some
Art
of the
Lawrence.
Titles of their books. Maybe that.
I don't have all of the titles on the list, but in the Facebook group for the event, if you find that on Facebook, they've put little bios about every single person that'll be there. So it'll have their book details, each author, kind of their background. So they've done a good job of kind of sharing things ahead of time. But yeah, there's a lot of books that will
advice
be
advice you give to somebody that wants to start writing a local book.
Ooh. for... Are you talking like local travel or are you talking like just a
general,
book about
just
anything?
Sitting down at your kitchen table or whatever with your laptop and saying, I'm going to write a book.
I would say write down everything. Start writing notes of everything that you're thinking of. And if it's something you can't stop thinking about, write it down and start making notes of everything. Because you'll be doing random things like taking a shower or making breakfast. And you'll have like an aha moment of like, oh, I need to put this in the book. So keep a running list of all of your book notes. And then... Start writing.
That is great advice. That is really good advice. That actually could be advice for us.
Why? Yes, it could. Your book was a little bit different in that you set a timeline. There's some people we talk to on here that say, oh, I've been, you know, working on this for years, you know?
Yeah.
And yours was like, you wanted to have this 100 things to do in Green Bay before the NFL draft because you got 300,000 people coming to town. So that might have been... A little bit different, and your book is I'm not saying it's a research book, but it's not a story. It's not an experience. It's not a creative book. Okay.
Yeah, it was more of me finding and highlighting different businesses. So it wasn't really I like had the structure when I went to write the book, and I got to put in like who was
the Northland Hotel.
In it.
The
so it was a lot of research.
Great
and
restaurants.
Fact checking.
Right, and that's okay. Well, that's cool.
I didn't know you went to school in Scotland.
I did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in Aberdeen, Scotland at the Robert Gordon University.
What was that like?
Very different. It was fun. that's actually where I finally got the, I guess, inspiration, confidence to write my travel blog. And then the travel blog led into this. So that was kind of my starting of being like, I have something interesting to write about finally.
Awesome.
And what are your plans? Will you do a series on the 100 things to do in Chicago, 100 things to do in Oklahoma City? I think every city is great. I do. I think there's 100 good things to do in every city.
I don't plan on writing any more 100 things books. They try and find local authors in every city that they're at so that they get more of that local,
flavor.
you know, inspiration, history and things. So I won't write any more of this version of the book, but there are other series books that I could write. Like there's one on food and drink. There's one on like little known facts, things like that.
Yeah.
So I could write other books about Green Bay. But I have probably one more Green Bay book in me and then another kind of further project that I'm not going to share about this. Yet.
We had a girl on from Manitowoc area, and she travels around the world. Remember Thailand and all these places? She's ready, but blogging on that, that's become an in thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what it, and I tried, but totally not being sexist here, but it's really young women have really gotten into that life, haven't they?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And traveling alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, traveling alone, you get to do things where you don't have to plan around other people, right. So it's pretty freeing, and I feel like women really connect to that.
My era of women, my sisters, first of all, my dad wouldn't allow it. You know how that is, but it's like these young women are so much more courageous, or just more like, get out of my way, I'm going to do this.
I can do this, life and is I short. Will do this.
I know, but it's just cool to watch. I mean, it's cool to see. I love following her stuff.
And I think travel, I think we're getting... I mean, people are traveling a lot more, and it's the guy on PBS. I mean, wasn't he one of the most popular guys on there with his travel? You know what I'm talking about? Todd, who's the guy on PBS?
Charles Carell, where he went to go to his cabin in Montana?
No, the guy on PBS is, I can picture him. Anyway, it's just very sought after. You buy his CDs, and it's all travel around the world, which is great. You know, and he really digs a little bit deeper. He digs a little bit deeper. You go to places, but he really looks and gives you a little bit of tricks of the trade too, how to avoid this line, go here first and then come back.
Ever want to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of Midwest travel right now with my blog. So, but I do want to visit all seven continents. Yeah. So
that's a great goal.
How much beer did you drink in Scotland?
A good amount, healthy amount.
give yourself a plug about your book and what's coming up.
Yeah. So my book is 100 Things to Do in Green Bay. I'll be at the event on Sunday, selling my book from 11 to 3:30 at the Cedar Creek Event Center, and I'd love to see you there.
Cedar Creek of De Pere Event Center, 1018 Cedar Street, 11 o'clock till 3:30.
And we got facebook.com. Give me that.
Yeah, give that, please.
If you search them on Facebook, you'll find the event. It's the first thing that pops up if you type in Authors Among Us Book Fair.
Okay.
Because Jim and I could look at this for 3 days.
But cedarcreekdp@gmail.com. We can find it there, too. All right, cool.
Thank you so much for being here, Sarah. Great job with your book. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor. Man, we've had a lot of fun today with just some phenomenal guests. Sarah Connery, Authors Among Us Book Fair, taking place once again Sunday from 11 o'clock till 3:30 at 1018 Cedar Street, De Pere, the Cedar Creek of De Pere Event Center.
We always do, but we had some really good people on today.
Yeah, in terms fantastic.
I was so Rick impressed.
Steves, is that the guy?
From PBS, Rick Steves?
Oh, yeah. That guy, you must have seen that.
Is it a travel thing?
Yes.
I've never seen it myself.
My God. He is terrific. And he's just talks to you like he's talking to you. Huh. I mean, he's not one of these guys that, you know.
He travels alone, which I think
is really cool.
I didn't know PBS was still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he doesn't travel alone.
Well, for now. We'll see.
Yeah, well, no, that's right.
You say he travels with his entourage. He doesn't have an entourage.
But he's got a cameraman. He's got a producer.
Right. Yeah. But he really, what I like about just places you might have been, Rome or something, and he kind of tells you how to see everything, but see it the right way, you know?
Yeah.
And he'll go on a cruise and, you know, he doesn't stay on the boat. He goes off and go to this first and come back here. You can still make the time. And it's just great. Yeah, he's.
And I still want a Charles Carell type job.
Well, that's cool to travel in an RV. This guy just travels.
We're going to my cabin in Montana, my favorite place where I get back to nature with my little squeeze by the side.
Yeah, it's like that bishop, right? That he was, I don't know, up in Nome, Alaska or something like that. And the cardinal goes up there and says, geez, you've been up here a long time. You know, how are you doing up here? Well, it's just really me and my rosary that keep me going. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah, I get it. Rosary, would you come and give us a couple glasses of wine?
You know, it's one of those people that, like, I remember, I knew a guy that went out for drinks with Bourdain. Was that his name?
Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yeah, that Bourdain. Guy. You know, he was in Green Bay.
Yeah.
He was at the Widener Center.
Yeah. I know some people that, like, hung out with him a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he was a very cool guy.
Fascinating guy. Just fascinating.
Yeah, my nephew is all into that guy. And he not only was just a cultural guy, but he really went pretty deep and found the most unique things. I mean, wow.
But you know what he told one of the guys? They're like, what's the most annoying thing that, you know, we all see the great parts. He eats this exotic food. And he goes, people that want to go out and have dinner with me after. It's like, I don't want.
Been eating all day.
You know what I mean? It's like, everybody, I'm going to take you for dinner. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
I just want to be by myself and whatever. But
he said into that story.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody really knows, right?
What happened to him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, killed himself, but I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah,
demons,
but I still watch his shows.
He was terrific.
He was. He set the bar for those kinds of shows.
Yep.
But I do like this one. Stanley Tucci, the actor, he does one, eating your way through Italy or something like that.
Well, that'd be good.
And it's interesting because you really, like I said, my family didn't grow up with like lasagnas and things like that. We never had that. Okay. Because in different parts of Italy,
they don't. Right.
You're isolated, from the rest back then. So what grows like in your area
is what you eat,
is what they ate. Mm-hmm. And my family was so far from the north that they didn't grow a lot of stuff, compared to other areas with the wheat and everything. So it's really interesting when he goes to those different areas how different the food. Like everybody thinks every Italian, like I said, grew up on lasagna
and Rome and Sicily are right across the street from each other. And
completely
they're
different,
totally. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'd love to go there. That's why I enjoy those kind of stories.
Well, food is just like the thing, right? I mean, there's so many food shows, and we talk about food trucks, how they can introduce you to a culture through food. I mean, food is just something that people really enjoy. But on the other side of the spectrum, my wife watches this show. Actually, it was on last night, and we watch it. Were they looking bad restaurants?
Oh, bar, like restaurant rescue type?
Is that what?
Yeah.
It's something like, anyway, it's just the opposite. Like, we talk about food, how great it is, and this is natural, and all, but there's a other side. And
is that disgusting when you see what those pictures are like? There was one, I'm not going to say that, I will not say the name, a place I used to go to a lot around here, okay? And loved their food, loved it. And I was good friends with one of the managers. He said, hey, come on back. I got to show you what we're... And I went, it's like,
last time I mean,
wow. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. But, okay. Hold the thought. We got to pursue what Todd was talking about.
That's with our friend
Todd,
from Jamaica.
Talk about that again.
So, Reggie with Caribbean Taste in Area 509 down in Appleton, he's got his own food trucks, right? And he's actually branching out with a new one, but he's got food trucks that you can rent. You have to do all the work, blah, 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 but it's got the fridge, got the three-compartment sink. It's all set up to use it. You can rent those out to do your own stuff.
And get some signs made.
And he said basically it saves you $30,000 to go out and buy a truck. Mm-hmm. And you can, obviously you can't rent it necessarily for a day because it's not going to do you any good.
Oh, you can't?
Well, you got to rent it for a little bit longer period of time. But I think it's 60 bucks a day or something like that to rent it.
You can make that up in a hurry. Do you need a trailer to haul it, or is it?
It's a bus. It's a bus that's been converted.
Now that's awesome.
I love this. I've always wanted to convert a bus.
We'll get him on to talk.
You know what?
Please
do. I think that could be a lot of fun because.
Okay.
And what a way to
can
test.
We reserve that though for the draft ahead of time? So I don't want to publicize it too much because somebody will swoop in.
The other thing I like about that, what a way to test it. Because I think if you spend,
that's what he said.
Yeah,
right?
You don't have any money and you borrow 30 grand from somebody or. And then it doesn't work. Whereas if you
or a
take
couple
that
of bad
off,
weekends, like, I don't want to do this. Yeah.
This is more work than I thought.
He will. But, he has a lot of stories to tell you. I mean, people who think they're going to make a ton of money off the bat, it just doesn't happen like that. So,
do you think? Yeah,
I got to be honest.
I'll get him on.
I'm legitimately. I'm not even joking. I'm legitimately interested in this.
Okay, we'll get him on because he's going to help sponsor some stuff on the station.
What do we sell?
This could be a lot of fun. We could sell a lot of stuff.
Like what?
Are you kidding me?
Well, what?
I don't want to give it out to the listeners. Okay. Right. I mean, I love our listeners, but hey, I got to make a little money.
Screw the listeners.
We love our listeners, but they're not taking any of our business.
Not taking my idea.
I'll tell you that right now. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for being here, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.